All right, I'm going to talk this morning about sin is not my master. Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would speak right now to each one of us during this time from your word, and that your word would bear, as it always does, it would bear good fruit, abundance of good fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Sin is not my master. So I'm not sure exactly when it happened. I can't think of like one encounter I had in my life where this took place. But somewhere early, thank you, Jesus, in my relationship with the Lord, I started to develop a deep conviction that I have power to overcome any sin or negative habit. And I can't remember one encounter where it was like, now I know for the rest of my life. But just early on, I just had this knowing, like this, just from reading the word, this is what God says. I can do all things through what? Through Christ who gives me. Yeah. And I'm just like, I started to, like, this is what the word says. And it started early, actually within the first probably 45 minutes that I got saved. I was so eager. I had a brand new heart given to me and I wanted to please the Lord. And I was like, God, you know, what can I do? I want to live for you. And I knew right away, I'm like, well, I know I can't go to the parties anymore and all this kind of stuff. But then he said this, he's like, I want you to quit cussing. And I was like, wow. I was like, yeah, I want to do that. I don't know. And I remember thinking like, I don't know if I can do that because I've tried to stop cussing before and it didn't work very well. But yeah, let's do this thing. You know, I'm all in. I'll try. And I remember trying, and within about a week, you know, I would try, I would do my little part, and I about a week later, I was having a conversation with a friend, and out of the blue, I don't even remember what we were talking about, she looks at me and she goes, you know what? She goes, I never hear you cuss anymore. It had only been a week. But I think the Holy Spirit was speaking through her. It was what was happening. And then I realized, I thought about what she said, and it hit me. I'm like, oh, wow. I'm like, it worked. You know, like something changed a week earlier when I got saved. I got a new nature. Amen. So now, before when I tried to stop cussing, I tried to do it with an old sinful nature. But now I have a new nature. I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. And now I have supernatural power from within to do what was impossible before. And I remember I was just, it impressed me actually. It was like a really quick win for me that kind of built my faith and confidence, like, this is so real. This is so awesome. It's working. And then after that, I conquered fear by the grace of God. Fear was a major stronghold from the time I was a very, very little boy. And I remember being a newly married man, and I was just at, there would be times when I would just be controlled by a spirit of fear. And I remember the Lord pointed that out to me, and I thought, wow. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to act on my fearful emotions anymore. When my fearful thoughts come, and I'm not going to act on them and let my life be dictated and my actions and my behavior be dictated by a demon that just all he has to do is inspire some kind of scary thought. And I'm like, oh no, I better get up and check the door again, or I better, you know, all this kind of stuff at night. And I just got to the point, I'm like, I refuse to act on that thought. I'm only going to act on the promise. I'm blessed and I'm protected by God. And you know what happened? I overcame fear. And then it was condemnation. That was a big one. Condemnation, because I really, really, really cared about pleasing God. But my faith wasn't super strong yet. And so when I would stumble, when I'd sin, when I'd fail, I'd beat myself up forever. I'd be like, I'm such a loser. I'm horrible. And I'd put myself in a spiritual timeout for weeks. I mean, at times for weeks, where I'd just be like, I'm a loser. And I wouldn't allow myself to feel loved by the Lord. Because I'd be like, no, I have to prove through, like, after so many weeks of good behavior, then I could come out of the penalty box and try again. And the Lord began to teach me how to put my faith in with the finished work of Jesus on the cross and what he did for me rather than my most recent performance. You guys following me? And what happened is this one wasn't an instant deliverance, but I did know deep down within, this took years. Just, it was a progressive, slow, hard-fought battle. I'd be in victory for a couple weeks, and then I'd not be in victory. But then he'd pick me up, and I'd be in victory, and I'd not be in victory. But you know what happened? My faith started getting stronger over the years. And the periods of victory got longer and longer and longer and longer. And now really condemnation is something I rarely ever deal with anymore. The Lord delivered me. Sometimes he delivers you through an instantaneous encounter that just sets you free. Other times he delivers you through a process by which you willfully cooperate with the Holy Spirit, submitting to the word of God instead of to the negative emotion, thought, behavior, sin, whatever it is. You guys with me? And as you do that, it's a process, but the Spirit supernaturally works in you, and the freedom, your faith gets stronger, and the level of freedom that you experience in your heart from that negative thing gets greater and greater and greater and greater. Sometimes it's a process. Sometimes it's an instantaneous deliverance. That's my preference, actually. I prefer that. How many of you like the instantaneous deliverance? Lord, deliver me, I confess. Boom, I'm done. I'm righteous. I love it. You are righteous, forgiven, and he does do the deliverance too in the behavior, but sometimes it's a process because God's using the process to teach you how to believe the word over your circumstances, over the temptation, over the lies, etc. So I could go on and on and on and on about things that God, in his grace, has helped me overcome, and I'm still overcoming. This year, I'm doing a big one this year. I mean, I'm taking on a Goliath, and by the grace of God, I'm winning. This year, I'm conquering addiction to junk food. This has been a stronghold my entire life. And I've taken it on kind of, but then not, and kind of, but not, off and on throughout the years. And this year, the beginning of the year, the Holy Spirit just pressed me on a Friday night prayer night. He's like, it's time to kill this thing. It's time to get victory in it. And I'm like, I'm fasting sweets for a year. And I've been doing it now since January or December, end of December. And I don't even miss the sweets, to be honest with you. And do you know the level of breakthrough I'm experiencing in my communion with the Holy Spirit? It's been enormous. This has probably been the most consistent year of walking in the Spirit from week to week and month to month that I've had in my entire 25 years. Of walking with Jesus because he's helping me overcome this thing. But you know what? Next year, it's going to be something else that I'm going to be overcoming. And in 15 years, there'll be something else that I'm overcoming. But here's my point, is we have to have, this is the way our life is in this age, is we are constantly, by the grace of God, it's called sanctification in the Bible, is we're growing stronger in our faith and we're overcoming sin, we're overcoming negative thought patterns that contradict what the scriptures teach, and we're growing in the grace of God. And this is, but we have to have this conviction, and this is what I want to zero in on this morning. We have to have a deep conviction that, you know what, I can overcome any sin through the grace of God. Say that with me. Say, I am not a slave to sin. I can overcome anything through Jesus. Okay, there is no sin that I can't conquer through Jesus. Okay, because I find this is truth. Too many believers underestimate the full power of the gospel to set them free from sin. I'll say that again. Too many believers, we underestimate the power of the gospel to set us free from sin. And the good news of the gospel is not just that we're free from the penalty of sin. Aren't you thankful that you're set free from hell and separation from God? But we're set free from the power of sin. In fact, as we overcome and walk in ever-increasing victory over the power of sin, it just bears witness to the other truth that we've also been delivered from the penalty of sin. It's just confirmation. Yep, this thing's really working in me as we progressively grow. I find that a number of believers, what they do is they conquer a certain number of sins and negative habits. But then they get to a point and there's other sins and negative habits in their lives that they never take on, and they just accept, well, this is just the way I am. This is just part of who I am. I've always been this way, and I've always had a bad temper, or I've always been like this, whatever the thing is, fill in the blank. And that's just, you know, different people have their struggles. This is my struggle, and they embrace it as an identity, but it's not your identity in Christ. And in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Amen. And we have to get, and so what they do is they just decide to settle in and let the sin or negative habit remain. And they get stunted in their walk with Jesus. And we just have to get to a point where we're like, you know what? I'm going all the way with God. I'm going all the way with him. I'm not going to settle in and just say, well, this is who I am. All my family struggles with this. It may be who you've always been and what you've been like, but you're a new creation and there's grace to overcome any sin. Amen. This is my message today. So I hope you like this because this is, I'm just saying this over and over again in different ways using Bible verses for the next 40 minutes. Okay. Romans 5:17. I want you to look at that with me. It's on your sheet. Paul says, for if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man. Who is he talking about here? Yeah, he's talking about Adam. He says, death reigned through that one man. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace? You know what grace is? You just got to know what grace is to really get this passage. Grace is supernatural power to do the will of God in your life. Grace isn't just, I sin, God's going to turn the other way and wink at, you know, kind of wink at my sin and not really hold it against me. Grace is the power to overcome it and be victorious and reign in that area of life instead of being defeated in that area of life. That's what grace is. Mercy is when you don't get what your sins deserve. But grace is what he gives you to overcome the sin so you can be in victory. And it says right here, if that's true, it says that we've received an abundant, everybody say abundant, an abundant provision of supernatural power to overcome anything and do the will of God in our life. It says abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. What does it mean to reign in life? I'm going to tell you what I think it means, okay? I don't think it means in this age, to reign in life, I don't think it means, I've heard it taught in different ways, I don't think it means that we're always going to be millionaires in this life. I don't think it means that we're always going to be the most popular person at our workplace or in school. I mean, I pray for that, actually. I really do. I want favor, amen? I'm like, God, give me favor. I want to be the head and not the tail. But you know what? There's people who are reigning in life that are in prisons, and they're slandered for righteousness because they love Jesus with all their heart, and they're not the most popular person in their city. They're like, in the eyes of the people in their city, they're the scum of the earth. And even Paul says, you know, us apostles, we're paraded, we're looked upon as like the scum of the earth. You know what I mean? Because we get persecuted from city to city to city. He says, I know what it is to have plenty, and I know what it is to be in need. But yet, in all of the different circumstances, because how many of you know in this age, it's a fallen world right now? And everything is mostly upside down. And when Jesus comes back, everything's going to get flipped right side up. Yeah, and sometimes the least of these right now are going to be the greatest then, okay? Here's what I think it means to reign in life. To reign in life is to do the will of God and glorify Jesus in every situation at all times. That's success to me. So success to me is somebody mistreats me and does harm to me. Success is not that, I end up looking like the coolest guy ever. Success is that in that moment, I would do the will of God and I would represent Jesus well. And I would obey and I would respond how Jesus would want me to respond. And I would release the fragrance of Christ in the situation. And they may keep persecuting me, but I want the fragrance of Jesus to just keep coming from me. You guys with me? I may be in a situation where I have a need. Success isn't that I become the millionaire and I live in a mansion. I don't even really care about that at all right now because I'm going to have a really good one in the age to come. That's what I'm aiming for. What I care about right now is, you know, my needs are met. I'm good. right? He blesses me. But here's what I care about, is that I would represent Jesus well in every situation in life. When a temptation comes, success looks like I obey the will of God in that situation. That's what it means to reign in life. If I can do that consistently, I am reigning in life. Is this making sense? So through Christ and the indwelling Spirit, we can reign over the flesh, which is, you know, carnal appetites and lust. We can reign over demons. Every demon that comes to attack you, you have authority over that, and you can reign and overcome in that situation. Why? How? Through the abundant provision of grace, you reign in life. A demonic attack? No problem. I have grace to reign in this situation. Oh, never mind, it's not just a demon. My flesh is just pulling me. It's like sin trying to pull at me. No problem. I have grace to reign over my flesh. I have grace to reign over sickness and disease. I have grace to reign over negative emotions, my emotions. You know, here's what I mean by that. I may experience negative emotions, but I don't have to be controlled by them. You know, there's times that I feel despair attacking me, but I have grace to reign over that emotion, and instead of agreeing with it, I lean into hope. And I remember the promises of God, and I do what Stan says, and I start dancing and praising the Lord for his victory in my life, and I overcome the temptation of despair. You guys with me? But we can reign over negative emotions. We don't have to let them dominate our life. We can reign over our words. We can reign over our words. We can reign over our thoughts. We can reign over our attitudes. We can reign in various life situations, whatever they would be. We can reign over death, on and on and on we could go. Here's my point. We have grace to reign in every situation in life. To do the will of God is success. And we have grace to do that in every situation of life. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. We're going to spend the rest of our time in this amazing passage of Scripture. I'm going to talk about this today, but I highly recommend that you spend lots of time enjoying Romans 6 on your own. It's so good. Romans chapter 6, verses 6 to 11, Paul says, "We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ." Why? What? Carmen said it. What was it, Carmen? Okay, so that sin might lose. Everybody say sin is a loser. So that sin might lose its power over our lives. We have been freed in Christ. You have been set free from the dominating power of sin in your life. And he says, we are no longer slaves to sin. Aren't you glad? You want to know the truth? As a believer, and you're going to see this as we continue through the passage, you'll see it more clear. As Christians, when we sin, it's not because we have to, it's because we choose to. You're not a slave to sin anymore. You have grace to reign in life over that temptation. We can choose to cooperate with the grace of God or to yield to the sinful desire. But you have the authority. One of the fruits of the Spirit, the last one in Galatians chapter 5, is self-control. He's like, I give you your freedom back. This is what the Holy Spirit's done. I give you your freedom back. You have the ability to choose. You're not a slave anymore. You can resist this. Amen? Then he goes on and he says, verse 7, "For when we died with Christ, we were set free from what?" Yeah, set free from what? The power of sin. Yeah. I want you to notice how many times this phrase is used just in this one passage. Set free, that sin loses its power in our lives. We're set free from the power of sin. He died to break the power of sin. And he goes on, verse 8, "And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him." When he died once to what? Break the power of sin. I love this passage. This is like super encouraging. Like, it's like Jesus took the power of sin that was dominating me. It's just like, I imagine, you ever seen those puppets that are on strings? And there's that wooden thing that the puppeteer holds, and he can manipulate the strings and make the puppet do whatever it wants. That's like what sin was in our life. But you know what Jesus did? It's like Jesus came and he cut the cords, and then he took that little wooden thing that the devil was holding, and he smashed it over his knee, and he broke the power of sin over our life. So now the devil can't make you do whatever, so he just has to try and entice you into choosing it. So now he just stands to the side, and he can't just make you walk this direction. He has to say, doesn't that look good over there? And it's a sin, and it's not good. Doesn't that look great? Don't you want that? Don't you want that? But you're not on a string anymore. You could say, depart from me, devil, in Jesus' name. And then it says here, when he died to break the power of sin, but now that he lives for the glory of God. Even so, consider yourselves. You know what that means? This is the way you should think of yourself from now on, now that you're in Jesus. That's what consider yourselves means. This is how you need to start thinking about yourself. This is what I was talking about when I said somewhere early in my Christian life, I just began to really develop a deep conviction. I can overcome anything in the grace of God. It may take me a little bit. I'm going to go after it. I may fall like 50 or 60 times, but eventually I'm going to fall less frequently. And eventually I'm going to be running. I'm not going to stumble in this thing anymore. I'm going to overcome this if I'll just keep at it. Because God's power working in me is greater than sin working on the outside of me. So he says, this is how you need to think. This is a victorious mindset. He says, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. I love this. And your relationship to it broken, but alive to God in unbroken fellowship with him in Christ Jesus. Just look at that verse real quick. On your own, I'm just going to wait 15 seconds. Read it on your own, the last verse, and take it in. So this is the way that I think of myself now, that we think of ourselves as believers. I'm dead to the power of sin. What does it mean to be dead to the power of sin? If there were a dead corpse up here in a casket this morning, the devil took a pornographic magazine and he came up in front of the corpse and he waved the pictures in front of it, said, come on, don't you want this? How would that thing, would it react? No, because it's dead to it. It's dead. It's not going to respond. Brought a bottle of whiskey. Come on, don't you want a sip? It's not going to drink it. It's not going to respond. It's dead. It's like, I am dead to the power of sin. That used to work for me, but not anymore, because I'm dead to the power of sin. But I'm not just dead to the negative. I'm alive to the positive. That's what it says. Because he says, consider yourself not only dead to sin, but alive to God in unbroken. You have the ability, you have the grace given you to live in unbroken fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's what it says, doesn't it? Does it say that? This also took hold of me when I was in Bible college. I began to get this revelation. I remember my pastor talking one time, the church I got saved in, and he was talking about our relationship with God. And he was like, we can live in unbroken fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And I remember him saying that. And I love the Holy Spirit. I told you about my encounters and stuff. I would have these awesome encounters, and I love that. And when he said that, I was like, oh, you're saying that I can enjoy that with him, like, all the time? I'm in. Like, that's for me. I sign up for that. Where do I sign the line on that thing? I was so happy. And he used this illustration. He says, when my wife and I were dating, he says, you know, we would get to be with each other on the dates, but then, you know, we had to say goodbye and go our separate ways, and we couldn't wait till the next time we could come and enjoy each other's companionship again. And he goes, but when we got married, he says, when we got married, we got to enjoy each other's companionship all the time. And he's like, you have a relationship, a covenant relationship with God, and the Holy Spirit lives in you. You can live in unbroken fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, I took that as a literal promise, and I said this before the Lord, I'm like, I'm doing this. And I did, for real, immediately. Like the next day, I remember just throughout my day, I'd be consciously thinking about it, and I'd be like, man, you're with me right now. As I'm driving in my car, I'm at work, wherever I was like, I love you. And I just start practicing engaging him in conversation as I would go throughout my day. And I began the practice of the presence of God. It was like these two things were working in me from the very beginning and getting stronger over the years as I've continued in faith. My faith has gotten stronger. I've done a better job over the years. I'm getting more and more consistent on actually doing this living in unbroken fellowship with him. I still haven't nailed it down perfectly yet, but I believe it's promised for me. I consider myself to be alive to God in unbroken fellowship with him, so I go after it. And I'm getting stronger in it. But you know what else is happening? I'm dead to the power of sin, and I'm living in ever-increasing victory over those things as well. Same things are happening simultaneously. In fact, you want to know what are the best ways to overcome sin? Make it your aim to live in unbroken fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You want to grow in the gift of discernment to know what is good and what is evil? Make it your goal to live in continual fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He'll let you know. It's the best way I've learned, because I start walking with him and all of a sudden something happens. I'm like, something didn't feel right there. Something was off. I don't know what it was. Holy Spirit, what was that? And he begins discipling me and training me in what is good and what is evil so I can give myself to what is good and be excellent in it, to excel in it, and learn how to abstain and be innocent of what is evil. And he says, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, your relationship to it broken. How many have ever had a breakup in your life? Yeah, we need to have a clean breakup with sin. A clean breakup with sin. So here's what a clean breakup is. You know, some people, I've done this before, where it's like you're in a relationship with someone, and it's like, I know that we probably this isn't working out, but you break up, but then there's just still this little part of your heart that's a little bit attached to them. So then you come back together. Then you're like, what was I doing? There's a reason that this wasn't working. You break up again, and then you're doing fine, and it's still this little thing, and you kind of come back, and you're like, no, this is a disaster. What was I doing? And it's just like, finally, a clean breakup is just like, it's done. Our relationship is over. Like, we're not getting back together for any rendezvous whatsoever. This is finished, and you never engage in the relationship like that again. That's a clean breakup. You guys with me? And what Paul's saying here is like, your relationship with sin, clean breakup. See, because all of us have these familiar sin patterns that we've developed since young. And it's different for different ones. Some it's lust. Some it's self-pity. Some it's just like, you know, I just want to kind of wallow in self-pity for a while. And it feels like strangely comforting, even though a dark cloud forms over you while you yield to it. You guys, I've done this before. Okay, that's how I know. Whatever it is, but it's like, you know what? And a lot of times the devil will lie to you and you just be like, that's just who you are. That's just your struggle. I remember one time a believer who had been a believer for decades and decades and decades spoke to me and they were like, yeah, they'd battled depression, and they're like, yeah, you know, there's just this thing that I battled, and I've always battled it. And then they said, you know, you'll probably have things like that you'll struggle with your whole life. And I was like, uh-uh. I love you, and I really do love and respect this person. But I'm like, what you just said is the opposite of what God said. I don't believe you. I believe him. I refuse to accept anything in my life that's not the will of God for me. I want to reign in every area at all times. Now, I haven't done it perfectly yet, but I'm getting better. Paul said, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ has called me. Amen? That's what he said in Philippians chapter 3. So, clean breakup with sin. Our relationship with over is over. So whatever that sin is in your life that you have, you know, the gluttony and the addiction to junk food is one of those things in my life. I get tired and I get weary. And that old girlfriend, so to speak, addiction to junk food. This is an allegory. Comes calling at the opportune moment. I know you're exhausted and you're tired right now. Why don't you just like indulge in excessive amount of entertainment, even clean entertainment. I don't watch junk entertainment. Clean entertainment and indulge yourself in all the junk food you can possibly delight in. But you know what happens? It doesn't make me feel better. There's this weird kind of like relaxation that happens, but then I can't get myself out of the pit after that. And the Holy Spirit's teaching me this year. He's like, you've got to learn how to rest in ways that restore you to full strength, not that just keep you sidelined. Clean breakup with addiction to sweets for me. Hallelujah. Romans 6, 12 through 14. Let's read that passage. It's the same passage. It just keeps going. And do not let sin control the way you live. Everybody say, do not let. Now, notice that means you have the ability to let it control you or not let it control you. That's why Paul, God says, hey, stop letting sin control you. Like, stop it. Lord, I can't help it. You can help it. Do not let the sin control the way you live. Listen to this next phrase. Do not give in to sinful desires. Everybody say, do not give in. Yeah, that means you have the ability to choose to give in or not to give in. Your will is, you have your will. You have a free will and you can make choices. Amen? Is this helpful? I think it is. I know it is. Okay, you're welcome. It's that song in Moana. You're welcome. Have you seen that? Yeah? Yeah, it's just, I like that song. Verse 13. Listen to this. I just want you to catch these phrases. Do not let any part of your body. All right, just think about the different parts of your body. Hands. Mouth. Eyes. Ears. Feet. Etc. He's like, don't let them. You have control over every part of your physical body. He's like, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. He says, why are you coming to sin, the sinful tempting desire, and saying, I present my body to you to serve your interest? He's like, stop it. That's what you used to be. You're free now. You don't have to do that anymore. So stop doing that. He's like, don't let it happen. What do I do then with the parts of my body? I mean, God gave me a mouth, and he gave me ears, and he gave me hands, and he gave me all these. What do I do with them? You know, keep reading. Instead, what? Give yourselves completely to who? For you were dead, but now you have a new life. He's like, we live totally different now than the way we used to. He's like, give your hands completely to God. Go serve someone. Give your mouth completely to God. Go speak the gospel. Encourage somebody. Speak words of life over a person. Use it to pray and bless your enemies instead of cursing them. Use your ears to listen to things that build up your spirit and make you strong and wise in the Lord. Use your eyes to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Amen? Use your eyes to see needs. Be moved with compassion, and then use your hands and feet to go do something about it. You guys with me? So here it is. Use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is, why? Sin is no longer your master. That's why. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom. Everybody say freedom. Okay, of God's grace. I just want to say something here. Do not, here it is. Do not let, do not give in, do not let, give yourselves to God. You have a choice, you have a will. hear this. Everybody pay attention real quick. It is biblical to resist sinful desires by raw willpower until the freedom from those desires takes hold in your soul. There's times where we see clearly in the Word, this is sin. And you may feel the desire for it, but it's like, by a raw act of my will, I will not do this. I will not give my body, my mind, whatever it is, into this sin. I refuse to yield to it and give into it. But the desire is pounding inside of you that you want to do it, but you say, no, by an act of my will, I say, no, flesh, you are not my master. Sin, you are not my master. God is my master. I submit to the Holy Spirit, even though my heart is pounding for the sin. I'm going to do what God wants anyway, just by raw willpower. That's biblical. You know the beginning, Jesus' gospel message. You know what it sounds like? Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. And people are like, yeah, but it's so hard because I just feel these desires. Why don't I feel freedom? Because here's what happens. As you choose by raw willpower to obey what's right and to resist the temptation, as you do that, the power of sin loses its grip over your heart and your emotions and your soul. And the power of righteousness gets stronger on the inside of you. And you have ever-increasing freedom and liberty in your soul from the sinful desires and negative emotions. You want me to show you that? Let's keep reading. Romans 6, 16 through 23. He goes on. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? Man, you guys, this is so good. Seriously, this is so good. You got to just go through this slowly on your own. There's so many phrases in here that you just got to get. Let's read it again. Don't you realize you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You choose your own master. You want God? Or you want to be a slave of sin? Sin's not your master anymore. But if you choose to yield and give in to the sinful temptation, you will be enslaved again in those very things. They'll have a dominating power again over your emotions as you choose to submit to those things. It's like, well, I don't want that. I want God to dominate my emotions. Well, then choose to obey God by raw willpower, resist temptation, and obey what God says instead. And here's what will happen. Let's keep reading. He says, you can be a slave to sin. That's what Paul says. I mean, if you really want that, how many of you know it's bad consequences at the end of the day, right? He says, you can be a slave to sin, which leads to death. Like, that's bad. Or option B, I'm in for option B, you can choose to obey God. And what happens if you do that? It leads to righteous living. What does that mean? When you make daily choices to obey God, just by even your raw willpower, daily choices to just resist sin and obey God, what happens is the power of righteous desires in your soul gets stronger. The daily choices to obey God leads to the breakthrough of the power of righteousness in the inner man. Verse 8, let's keep going. Thank God, once you were slaves to sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Verse 18, now you are free from your slavery to sin, and what has happened? You've become slaves to righteousness. You know what that is? How many of you have experienced this? Where once you used to have these sinful desires that pulled you into that. I'll just use myself. I could pick tons of different areas, but I'll pick the area of lust. Once I loved sexual immorality. I loved lust. I had desires for it, and I got saved and realized can't do that anymore. But there was still kind of this, like, well, desire for it. And I'm like, I can't do that. I have to obey what God says instead. So I resisted it. But do you know what's happened over the years? Is for a while, it was like, man, this feels like it's a daily battle for me. It feels like every day I'm being bombarded with temptation in this area. And I'm just by, I will not do it. No, no. And I'm just like, wow, this is exhausting. But no, I love you, Jesus, right? But you know what's happened as I persist in obedience? It's actually, there's an ever-increasing liberty in my soul. And actually, there's still moments where temptation comes, the enemy comes and tempts me. But that's actually not something I have to deal with too often. Yeah, I know. Thank you, Jesus. I'm like, great. Thank you. Thank you. I give him all the glory. And I still have to stay on top of my heart, right? And do the things, resist temptation, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee, right? I still have to do what I got to do. Guard my heart, guard my eyes, etc. But here's the deal. It's actually over the, it's become less and less of a daily intense, you know, World War III inside my soul. Because as we make those choices and we persist in submit, giving ourselves to God instead of to the sinful desire, righteousness, the stronghold of righteousness, replaces the stronghold of sin in our soul. And here's the deal. I've got to the point, I don't just hate sin. I actually love righteousness now. I don't just hate the wrong thing. I love sexual purity. I love the right thing. And this is just the testimony of a man who's 25 years into this lifestyle. And this is exactly what Paul says. And it's true. He says, because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. But now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you become holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. Isn't that true? I mean, you know, all of us had those things. It's like, I used to love that. I'm so ashamed that I loved that before. Like that was, that led to eternal doom. Like there was nothing good in that. But now, good news, you are free from the power of sin. There, how many times? I encourage you, go through Romans 6 and just underline every time that phrase is used. Free from the power of sin. Your sin is not your master, etc. And have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness that result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Good? Yeah? All right, let's pray. Sin is not your master. Everybody stand with me. You just need a victorious mindset. You know what I find? This truth and the confidence in this truth that through the gospel, we can overcome any sin. Not just when I first get saved, but any sin that comes up throughout the rest of my walk with Jesus for the rest of my life when the new thing comes to the surface and I see pride in me, I see envy in me, I see bitterness in me. I can overcome all of it through the grace of God. The same way that you overcame those first sins, those initial things that God called you to overcome when you first got saved, is the same way you'll overcome the ones 15 years from now. And there's ever-increasing holiness manifesting in our life, shining, and the beauty of Jesus within us shines brighter and brighter as we continue walking in the Spirit, rather than choosing to walk in the flesh, right? We need this, because here's the deal. I believe that even one of the problems with, let's say, you know, the issue, it's a big issue now in our society with homosexuality, the sin of homosexuality. And I think one of the problems in the church that they've had with addressing it is because homosexuals will say, well, this is who I am. This is the way that I was born this way. This is my nature. I can't be free, even though I've tried. I can't be free. So are you telling me that if I obey the word of God, that I'm doomed to a life of just being single? And I never get to enjoy the things a heterosexual person gets to enjoy? And a lot of times what happens is the church is just like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. But hey, what we need is, I love you. We need compassion, but here's the truth, right? The old you dies, and the power of sin is shattered over your life. And you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And what used to dominate you and define your identity is gone. And you have a new identity now. It's like, yeah, well, I still feel the desires. I still feel the same-sex attractions. You could fill in whatever sin you want to fill in for this. I'm just using homosexuality as an illustration because it's so prevalent right now in our face, in society. They say, well, I still have the same-sex attractions. You know what? I'll tell you this. Based upon Romans 6, you, by your will, refuse to yield to those attractions because they're wrong. And it's like, oh, well, does that mean that I'll never be able to have sex then because I'm not attracted to women or somebody of the opposite sex? Well, yes, that's what it means until you get breakthrough. You know what I mean? And until God gives you breakthrough in your heart, but you deny yourself and you keep denying yourself and taking up your cross and following him. All of us have to do this in different areas of our life, right? And you believe God, we need to have confidence in the power of God to set us free from sin. He can change anyone. He can change anybody. I use that as an example, an illustration. It'll work for anything. We need to have confidence in this for our own lives, but also we're going to be discipling. We're going to be discipling millions of people. I'm talking about the church in our region. And they're going to be coming from all kinds of backgrounds. And one of the bedrock, foundational, fundamental truths that they need to get as soon as they come into the church is you're a new creation now. You can overcome anything that stands in the way of you following Jesus. He's with you. He loves you. You know, it's like, well, I sinned. Well, repent. He'll forgive you. Don't wallow in shame and condemnation. Get up and keep walking. Well, I sinned again. Repent, get up, shake off the shame, and keep walking, and just keep doing it until the victory takes hold in your soul. You with me? But the promise of the scripture is, I'm dead to the power of sin. I can overcome anything. Amen? And we need to have confidence in this for ourselves and for those we disciple. Amen. So let's pray together. You were made to live an honorable life. You were made to conquer any sin through Jesus. So I want you to just pray with me. Say, Jesus, I choose a holy life. Thank you that I am not a slave to, and I want you to, just quietly, I want you to be specific. Fill in the blank. What's the sin, the Goliath in your life that's been taunting you for years? And you're saying, we're done. Clean breakup. You may knock me down 50 times, but I'll get back, and on the 51st time, I'll take your head off. Say, I am dead. I am not a slave to say it. Just before the Lord. Whoa. Now we're going to say this. I'm dead to whatever it was. Now say, thank you, Jesus, that I am alive to. Now I want you to fill in the blank with the opposite of the thing that you just renounced. I'm dead to drunkenness. I'm alive to sobriety. I'm dead to bitterness. I'm alive to love. I'm dead to anxiety. I'm alive to peace and faith. So say, Jesus, I will not yield to sin. And I will give myself completely to you instead. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can go ahead and be seated real quick. Now, you already did your communication cards, right? Oh, we don't do them anymore? Okay, well, that's cool. We'll do it this way. Go ahead and be seated. No. How many of you want to start living for Jesus? Just hold up your hand. Like for real. Like you're raising your hand before the Lord. He's taking notes and writing your name down right now, which is a good thing. Say, I'm in. From this point forward, I'm not going to just follow my sinful desires. I'm going to obey the word of God. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I speak a blessing over every person in this room who just gave themselves to you. And I declare that the power of the Holy Spirit frees them from the power of sin and that they're alive to God. I just speak that new righteous cravings would erupt like a volcano within them and that they would crave righteousness, that they would love righteousness and hate wickedness with the same intensity that you do, and that they would enter into the joy of holiness. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Awesome, man. I love you guys. You are dismissed. Have a good day.